Labus, NBL Pocket Podcast fans. This episode today is all about the Illawarra Hawks' most recent signing. Not most recent signing, but one of LaMelo Ball. Very interesting character, along with his father and family. A lot of explosive comments were made about his time in the Lithuanian League, the LKL. And I kind of wanted to find out what they thought about his game and try and discover about him as a player, him as a person, and the circumstances surrounding what happened in Lithuania. Other news in the NBL just quickly. Lamar Patterson's gone to Brisbane. Scotty Hobson signed in New Zealand. And the NBL has gone to ESPN. All really good stuff, but let's stay on ball. My guest this week is Edikas Kervalaitis, and I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. My Lithuanian pronunciation is Šiūdas. He is the team and communications manager of the team that the Ball brothers, both LiAngelo, the elder brother, who was, I think, 19 at the time, and LaMelo, who was 16 or 17 at the time, played on this team, super young. The Balls were, you could say, unspectacular in the LKL. The Balls, at the behest of the father, LaVar Ball, pulled out of the LKL just a couple of games before the end of the season. I think there was about two games left, and they pulled out. I mean, LaMelo's numbers there were, not surprisingly for a 16-year-old, rather modest. 6.5 points, 2.4 assists, and shot under 30% from the field, 26.8, in just under 13 minutes a game. After they left, obviously there was comments flying either way. LaVar Ball said something to the effect of, things were going great until the coach ruined it. I don't have an exact quote on that, but it is out there. I have seen it. But the coach was the one who came out in the press and said the most sort of quote-unquote explosive things, and I'll read them to you. So he says, the first and most crucial mistake we made was allowing them, especially LaVar, think that they are in charge of the club, its decisions, its plans, and even the game. His boys were nowhere near the level of the LKL, let alone NBA, which the league obviously understands seeing the draft outcome. And that was obviously taken in a certain way. He also went on to say, and the most disappointing fact was that they had no inner drive to become better. And when they saw it was going nowhere, they started destroying the club, not paying out prize money to big baller brand tournament winners, etc. And these comments are, you know, are they explosive? I think when you listen to Edikas, you'll understand why they are the way they are and why they sound the way they sound. Let's not forget that this is a person who is speaking in their second language. English is their second language. So, you know, when it's things like, let alone the NBA, which the league obviously understands seeing the draft outcome, what he means by that is that they weren't the level of the LKL and they're not the level of the NBA, and that's why they weren't drafted. You know, it's said in a way that sounds a little bit more worse than it is, but I don't know. Edikas will explain more. And then that's what's gone on there. So, with no further ado, here is my guest, Edikas Kervalaitis.
What I'm keen to really find out about is LaMelo Ball. He's obviously signed in our National Basketball League with the Illawarra Hawks. And obviously he played for, you'll have to help me with the pronunciation, what's the name of the team he played for?
Vytautas.
Okay, and they where do they sort of sit on the ladder? Because I know, looking at the league, you've got one very strong team, and then a couple of others. So there's, you go.
Yeah, in Lithuania. Yeah, there's like Žalgiris team, which is the only team in Lithuania which plays in EuroLeague. Mm-hmm. So they are the leaders of the league, obviously. And the Vytautas team that had Ball brothers last year. So they were named Vytautas, but last season they changed the name to SkyCup just because of the sponsorship change.
I understand. And let's start off firstly. So what was your connection with that team and the league? What's your title?
I still work actually mm-hmm. at the team. I worked as a communications manager. Mm-hmm. But then after all the story with the Ball brothers, and after that season, I got like promoted to team manager.
Good man, congratulations.
Yeah.
I can imagine that I can imagine that was quite something when both of those brothers, LiAngelo and LaMelo, decided to sign with the team. Just quickly tell me, what was the reason they signed with the team, what happened leading up to that, and why did they make that decision?
Like at first, I texted Harrison, the agent of the Brothers at that time, just to check if they would be even interested, you know, to join the team. The first thing they wanted to get is like the playing time. They really wanted to, you know, improve their basketball skills. Mm-hmm. And Lithuanian league is famous in Europe of its like physical basketball playing style, you know, the high level of basketball. And it was basketball wise, it was a good spot for them. What they liked, and it was a good spot for them to learn, improve their basketball skills, and just move on basketball life.
Tell me about the coach of the team. You have to help me with pronunciation again. What's he like as a coach? As far as, does he run an up and down game? Does he run quite a slower, stronger game? What's his sort of style? Or when the balls were there?
Yeah. So we had this coach Virginijus Šeškus at that time. Currently, we changed the coach. He was coaching the team probably maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years.
Wow.
Just had one season out and then back with the team. So he's kind of in Lithuanian, like basketball experts call him the innovator of small ball, because he was playing due to the lack of like financial things and all this stuff. Probably 10 years ago, he started to play small ball because he didn't, like, he had to play like this because he didn't have any centers on his squad. But, like, he revolutionized the game in Lithuania,
right?
As we can see, because he played with a lot of stretch force. The games, he shot a lot of, like, the team shot a lot of three-pointers, which is a kind of run of game. Mm-hmm. And when the team won a few Lithuanian Cups, Baltic League, even against the best teams in Lithuania, he beat the teams just going like fast-paced game, you know, shooting all the threes.
Right.
There wasn't like a lot of defensive-minded possessions, you know,
sure,
but a lot of shooting, a lot of three-pointers stretched for
sure.
Basketball, you know.
Yeah, entertaining stuff. So tell me...
Yeah.
With the Ball Brothers, did you obviously watch them play? Did you meet them personally as well?
Like at the time they were here.
At the time they were there, yep.
Yeah, of course, every single day I was with them.
And tell me, what did you like? Let's go with LaMelo in particular. When you first saw him, what was your first impression of him? First of all, as a player, like, what were the strengths of his game? What were perhaps the weaknesses?
Of course, the first time I saw him was in the airport, but in the court. Comparing to all the, you know, older players and more experienced players in the league, he lacked, you know, physical abilities, a bit understanding of how team defense works, you know, the zone defense, the court defense, all this stuff. You know, it was from the size what he had to learn is that how to defense, like, with the team defense, you know, how to switch, you know, all this European basketball and Lithuania, especially because Lithuanians play this very team basketball. Like in our league, mm-hmm. there's not a single player who averages more than 16 points a game. So we play really like team basketball. For him, it was quite an adaptation because this, like, basketball playing style is quite different than in the States and everywhere. And talking about his skills, of course, he has, you know, this incredible court vision, how he feels everyone on the court, you know, how he sees the players or the opportunities to drive to the basket and kick out. Also, our coach wanted him to learn is how to, you know, drive to the basket, gather the defense, and then kick out.
Right.
For his teammates. Even he had to learn, you know, not to shoot as much three-pointers, you know, from 10 feet, you know. But he's really good skill set. At the time, he wasn't as physically strong as he is right now. But like we could see his potential.
Sure.
Really.
And he was 16 or 17 years old when he arrived?
Yeah, he was 16.
16 years old, wow. Yeah, that's very young. And the average age of the league, I'm assuming, is mid-20s?
The average age?
Average age, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably 26,
27. Wow, I think the league sounds very similar to our NBL, our Australian league. We'd have a similar age average, around about sort of 26, 27. A man's league, you know, big, strong. Again, our highest scorer just averaged over 20, I think, or just under or over. So it's a very similar style. A lot more. We've seen small ball come into it a lot more. There's a few bigger players come in. Andrew Bogut has signed here, and a few others. So, but they sound awfully similar. And what did you make of his character? Was he a sort of a fun kid, or was he quite determined? What was he like as a person?
He was friendly, you know. He was still a kid, so of course, as a personality wise and as a professional wise player, so he still, you know, had time to mature and everything. But at his age, he was okay. Of course, there was, you know, sometimes he was acted like a kid, you know, just pranking and
sort of immature or pranking stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, you can understand it, because he's like 16 years old kid, so you can ask him, you know, do like veteran stuff.
Yeah, of course not. So the one thing I had, so his averages are 6.5 points, 2.5 assists, didn't shoot particularly well, shot at only under 30%. I assume that's the shooting is not so much because he is a poor shooter or doesn't have that skill, but more just because of the strength of defense in the league and the type of play and how the Lithuanian league gets their shots. I think he's more used to one-on-one play, and perhaps he wasn't quite so good at shooting. What do you put that lower shooting percentage down to? What do you attribute that to?
Of course, there are some shots that, you know, the shot selection is for him is quite, you know, different than for example in Lithuanian basketball how we play, because we most of the teams, there's not a lot of isolation basketball played here, you know. We play like team, you know, run plays every single possession and try to get the most open shot we can get. So of course he still had, you know, if he stayed here like for a season or for one more season, for two more seasons, he would learn all this stuff. But like for the half of the season he was here, you know, he didn't quite had so much time, you know, to adjust to the playing style here in Lithuania.
Sure.
And yeah, he just came with what he did before coming to Lithuania, I mean, China Hills, and with playing with his brothers, and like a lot of isolation, you know, shooting the threes from way downtown.
Yeah. The footage I've seen is him shooting some pretty long shots, and there didn't seem to be many other players on his team or the opposition following suit, you know, doing the same thing.
Yeah, because, you know, this is conceptual and structural basketball. Mm. So everyone, you know, leads, plays in the same, you know, like squad, in the same mindset. So, you know, no one, it was like an exception in Lithuania to see someone shooting, you know, threes, like Stephen Curry coming to Lithuania shooting threes from way downtown.
Tell me.
So I think,
so
I think it's kind of shot selection led to what, to these percentages. But I think if he, of course, he's a good shooter, and I think if he stayed for a lot longer time, you know, he can adjust the playing style, system, and everything. He can make shot selections better, and, you know, raise his percentages.
Yeah. As we said before, 16 years old, so it all makes sense. Tell me, did his father come to LeVar Ball? Did he come to Lithuania as well?
Yeah, for sure, from Thursday.
And what was he like as a person? Was he fun to the media? Was he open or quite interesting? What was he like in your dealings with him?
When he's on the cameras with the media, and when you know him personally, he's quite a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I had to know him in person, he's like a humble man, you know. He's not, you know, making these statements and everything. But, you know, when he's with media, he's, you know, he's loud, he's seen, you know, everyone will know he's in the arena, you know, and just, you know, his presence in the arena, of course, attracts, you know, the mm-hmm. the fans and everyone. But, you know, when I know him personally, I can say that he's a humble man. You know, he wants to care about his, you know, sons, mm-hmm. their careers and everything.
Sure. Tell me, then the big thing that happens, I'm reading it here. Is it LaMelo who sustains an injury to his leg and then they leave Lithuania? Does the eldest brother leave as well, LiAngelo? Do they all leave together at around about April?
Jello got the injury.
Jello got the injury, so LaMelo didn't get the injury.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so LaMelo had some problems with his back. It's the same because of the physical game. His body wasn't quite ready to play like this kind of level of basketball. They all left at the same time.
And it says here, now this is from a source I can't corroborate, but it says on April 25th, the Ball family left and LeVar Ball, the father, displayed resentment towards the team's head coach. Is that true?
What do you mean?
As in, they left rather unhappy with sort of the coaching and the playing time. Is that true?
I couldn't say that the same because, you know, they had, of course, some, like LeVar had some issues with the coach. Mm. Just because he wanted, you know, to like his sons play a lot of minutes, like 25, 30 something, but he was okay with all, you know, the team staff, the fans, with the, you know, how the city welcomed, how the country. He liked everyone in the club except the coach because just the playing style. But the coach, of course, both sides, you know, wanted their things, and the coach wanted, you know, just to, he played. Because in the Lithuanian basketball leagues, play at that day doesn't matter. You know, if you're a good player or a bad player, you play. If you play in good that like exact date, exact game, so you play more. And he played them in every game. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the season, when the team was at the bottom of the table and like seeing the relegation, so he wanted to play the players that play. You know, produce something and like. Do not get the team relegated.
Sure. And was it an explosive relationship, or it just kind of didn't? LeVar Ball was interested in more playing time. The coach was looking to avoid relegation, and that was kind of it. Or was it quite negative?
No, it was okay. Like through all this story, it was okay. Even like LeVar, the first months he was. Joking around with the coach, you know, talking with him like his Lithuanian brother, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It was okay because the coach was also in Lithuania. He's as charismatic as LeVar is in the States, they got along on that side. But you know, the playing time, you know, that, all that stuff. Coach wanted, you know, to keep the team going, you know, to keep to get some wins, to not get relegated. And yeah. On that side, there were some misconceptions, but on like character and everything, it was okay.
Right. Well, that kind of makes sense. I think, was there any commitment on the part of the team? Because obviously, LaMelo Ball's now signed here in Illawarra. And the thought is, has there been, we don't know whether there's been a promise of playing time or not. Now, obviously, if playing time was a sticking point in Lithuania, I don't know, perhaps it was bridged. With his new team, was there ever an understanding about the amount of court time either of the Ball brothers may have got while playing in Lithuania?
Like we first, it wasn't in the contract, but we're speaking like they should get, you know, playing time. Just that's why they are coming here.
Sure. Yeah.
But it wasn't like the. We were talking about that. Oh, they will play the crunch times.
Sure.
Know, all this, like most important games of the season. But yeah, they were probably wanted to play like 20. We want like them to play 20 minutes or something. But we couldn't play them in the crunch time against like the games we should win.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. And obviously the coach is, you know, he runs the team and he seems to have a very good, very, very good reputation. So I'm not surprised about that. Tell me what's the future of the team going forward in the Ball brother absence?
So last year, like this last season, we had like this kind of veteran squad. We had like even most probably most famous Lithuanian players, like twin brothers Lavrinovic, who played in EuroLeague multiple years. We had Mindaugas Lukauskas, also a Lithuanian basketball legend, and Gecevičius, who is 2 times EuroLeague champion. So we had this kind of squad last season, but after for the upcoming season, we are going to rebuild the team, get some Lithuanian and even European basketball prospects, you know, who can get drafted in upcoming seasons. And we are rebuilding the team. We want to, you know, we change the coach, we change the culture here. We want to, you know, to get the, like, the hungry teams for, right, with the young players, you know, get some, like, 2 or 3 veterans around them, or, like, foreign players, and try to get into, like, top 4 in Lithuania.
Yeah, makes sense. Are you excited about the FIBA World Cup in China? I believe Australia and Lithuania are in the same group,
yeah,
along with Canada and Senegal.
And Senegal, yeah.
What's the Lithuanian national team looking like? Because like always, Australia and Lithuania have always butted heads, whether it be at World Cup or in particular Olympic Games. How confident are you in that team? Have you seen much of them?
Like, it's a different team, because Lithuania right now, we're on this kind of like a searching, because the generations of basketball players are changing. You know, the players who were leading the team last maybe 10 years, they're getting old, you know, like Kalnietis, Mačiulis, Jankūnas, yep, these type of guys. And they're like 34, 35, and they're still on the teams, some of the guys, but there's a new generation of players coming to the national team. I think we will have some debuts, some players who never played in like this big stage for the national team. But I think it's
tough.
I don't know how far. Yeah, it will be tough for the guys. But I don't know how far this team will go in the tournament. But I think it will be nice to see, because it's a lot of young, you know, hungry guys,
sure,
going. You know, they get all the experience, and of course the Two Towers, Valančiūnas and Sabonis, will be the main front, probably one of the best front courts in the whole tournament.
Yeah, and in their prime. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is sort of mid to late 20s, so he's right there. So hopefully he can get a bit of help from the older guys and the younger guys. I mean, our national team is looking like we're more the other end. We've got a nice sort of blend of more mature players. You know, Patrick Mills is early 30s. Joe Ingles the same. Andrew Bogut's over 30. But, you know, a lot of guys who played in Rio are now coming, you know, either prime or just subprime. So I think we'll have quite a good national team. It'll be a very good group. I think Canada's another good team as well. So both Lithuania and Australia are going to need a bit of help to get through, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think at first when I saw the draw results, it was like a shocker for me, just to see how hard this group is. You know, all these three teams. If you would split these three teams in other three groups, everyone would, you know, go further. Mm. But right now they're all in the same group, and it would be like a clash of titans, I think.
Yeah, I always enjoy Australia versus Lithuania. You're our closest, toughest rival in international basketball. We've lost twice bronze medal games and always had good competition. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And I'm looking forward to following it. Yeah, and a little bit of the Lithuanian Basketball League where I can. Does the league have a sort of a league pass or an online subscription where people in Australia can jump on and watch the league?
You mean Lithuanian Basketball League? There's like they made it available since last season. There's a fan seats program, so we can watch through that, get a subscription, and see the games.
Fab. Well, thanks very much. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed for LaMelo in our competition. Hopefully, he's, by the sound of it, you know, matured a little bit just in his body and shot selection, and hopefully he goes well.
Yeah.
And you can follow the space of the NBL and see how he does, and wish him luck, okay? Thanks very much for taking the time, Ericus. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, and good luck with everything.
That was Ericus Kavalaitis, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that and found it interesting. I certainly did. I recorded that interview with Ericus very late at night. We'd been missing each other for weeks, so I didn't ask a couple of questions that I wanted to. So I fired them to him just in text, and he replied, so I'll read them out. I write to him, just one last question, Ericus. If the Illawarra Hawks called you and said, should we sign LaMelo to our team, is he going to develop into an NBA player, or could he be a distraction to the success of the team? What would you say? He replied very simply, yes, definitely an NBA potential. So he's for the signing. I then asked him about the comments that were made, and I actually asked him off the record, so I won't give his reply, but he gave the answer in when we spoke. And this is the impression I got, having read the, having spoken to Ericus first and foremost, read all the material I have, is that he had two charismatic, strong-minded personalities, and then a very watchful U.S. media. And, you know, you could take those quotes any way you want. I wish I had explosive and attention-grabbing headlines for you from Ericus, and he said, oh, LaVar did this and that. That's just, that didn't come out in my conversation with him because it just didn't happen. You know, it's not the explosive answer we all wanted, but it is the correct or most accurate one. And, you know, it's not as satisfying, but that's what it is. Life is a little unsatisfying. And that's it. And then when you're also dealing with the language barrier as well. Another question I asked was, what's the relationship now between LaVar Ball, LaMelo Ball, LiAngelo Ball, and the LKL, and in particular the team they played for? I said, what is the relationship now between the Balls and the LKL? Was there ever a discussion of them returning? He goes, I don't know about the LKL, but I personally still text with them sometimes and root for their success. There was some interest, but we understand they wanted to move forward. You know, so it just wasn't as explosive as perhaps reported. And I think that's the main thing I took from it. Guys, thanks very much, and I'll be back next Tuesday. This is a bit of an aberration, having two podcasts in a week, and I will speak to you again soon.